This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
Anneli, would you please introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Anneli Nunez, and I am an analytics and review attorney based out of Miami.
Welcome to another episode of our Technical Competency podcast series. My name is Beth Ann Stubbe, and I'm the Director of Publications and Press at ILTA. And today I am joined by probably our coolest guest to date, Anneli Nunez, and she is out of Miami. Anneli, welcome.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, I didn't get all the credit for this one. My amazing coworker, Nicole Gomez, found, you know, her way to our Miami social recently, and you guys connected, and it's been a pretty interesting conversation so far. But let's dive right into this. One of the things that we think is really important for our members, especially at firms, is to talk about the ABA Rule 1.1 that states that lawyers must provide competent representation. And competency is not only keeping abreast of the laws that change, but keeping abreast of the relevant technology to represent their clients. How do you think this is gone in the kind of golden age of post-pandemic world? Do you see that this is something that you're dealing with on a day-to-day basis?
Right. So I think that technology now is playing a role in our everyday jobs as attorneys, especially as an e-discovery attorney who focuses a lot on technology, where I'm working completely remote. I have to use technology to access our review database software, our client management tools, and of course, Zoom meetings and Google Meet. We're conducting all of our work remotely, and technology plays a big role in that. And so the competency to understand technology, the technology that your client's using, also plays a significant role. And I think it is the job of every attorney to stay competent on that and to understand what advancements there are in technologies and how to make decisions and understand how those technologies are going to play a role in your case and with your client. So just for example, so some of the new technologies that we're seeing a lot in e-discovery is different chat tools that companies are using. So Slack, chat, Google Teams. That's something that our attorneys have to understand how to collect, understand how to review, and understand how to display that properly when it comes time for depositions and for trial.
I think that's, you know, probably a lot for an attorney that's been practicing, you know, for 10, 15, 20 years. The tech has changed so much. And certainly in a post-pandemic, you know, kind of conversation, we're sitting today, you know, miles and miles apart. And it's a challenge sometimes. I mean, and even just for us who are people who use Zoom and Teams and Slack on a day-to-day basis, sometimes the updates are a pain in the butt.
Yes, they can be. we've come a long way from attorneys asking to print all of the relevant documents and put them in a binder for you to, you know, mark up and prepare for a deposition. I think it's really up to the attorneys to learn the new softwares that are coming out. And I think that's up to some of the IT teams at law firms and corporations. I think that it's up to us to really help train even the old school attorneys that have been practicing more than 10, 20 years to kind of bring them up to speed with what technologies are prevalent now and what's really going to make their jobs easier as attorneys so that they can focus on some of the more complex nuances involving the law and focus less on, you know, like, how do I find these documents?
So we're trading trapper keepers for ChatGPT. Okay.
Absolutely.
So I see where we're going, but I do think that there is, especially in some of, you know, our member firms even, that while they may not publicly say it, there's a hesitancy there. And we talked a little bit about that hesitancy. Why do you think that is?
I think people in general are a little bit hesitant for change. I think it really takes some champions at different firms or corporations that you're working with to really push the new technology and show them how effective they can be. And I think it takes certain groups to kind of pilot these new programs and show them the efficiencies and what they might be missing out. So, I mean, we've talked about you've mentioned ChatGPT or Google Bard or other generative AI tools that are coming out. I think that, I mean, this isn't the legal field, but I've shown my mother-in-law, who's a business owner, some of the advantages of ChatGPT and what it can do for her social media marketing, how it can create blog posts. And in that kind of area, I think she's just of the older generation, and she was just completely blown away about what these tools can do for her and her business. And I think that attorneys are starting to see how this can be applicable to the legal field. I think that, of course, there are hesitancies. I think I saw a poll by Thomson Reuters, and I think they said that 82% of attorneys saw how ChatGPT could be used towards the law, but only 15% of them were willing to try it out on their cases. And I think a lot of that hesitancy is a fear of the newness, a fear of privacy concerns, of sensitive data, confidentiality, which are completely valid. But I think we need to start experimenting with it and seeing what these tools can do for us as attorneys.
And I think that that's totally valid. I think there are the tech challenges and then possible tech solutions, which generative AI certainly plays into. But, you know, as a publisher and kind of managing some press pieces, I think there's a lot in there that we haven't discussed. So let's switch gears a little bit and talk about ethics, copyright, and privilege. As a practicing attorney, privilege has to be something that's at the top of your mind. How is it going?
Absolutely. So in the instances that I have used ChatGPT and Google Bard, it's been very generic statements. I haven't used any information about my clients or any information about ongoing cases. All of the data that I've put in for ChatGPT to analyze have been public-facing docket orders or different motions if I wanted to have something summarized. I'm not including anything that is privileged or confidential. I think that if that's something we want to do in the future, I think that different IT organizations are going to have to think of solutions of how to bring that technology in-house on private servers so that that sensitive information isn't going to be out in the universe of data that's being analyzed by ChatGPT.
I guarantee at least 30 of our ILTA business partners are thinking about that from kind of the other side of the house. But I think that this is a part of this conversation that, you know, when you and I were getting to know each other earlier, talked a little bit about kind of that give and take. If technical competency is something that attorneys, solicitors have to have, there has to be a training and aid perspective from a business solutions side that plays into this. So I think that that may help with privilege. But I think that we talk a little bit about being part of a market where vendors are part of the legal sphere. Do you think that's a reality and something that we'll have to go to?
So I think that the vendors are really the ones leading the way on this. I think that I've seen companies like Disco and Reveal AI Brainspace really jump in feet first with their deep learning models. There's different tracks that they take with unsupervised and supervised learning, where they've analyzed millions of documents and different models, as well as using training by reviewers to tag and label documents to create a real cohesive set and subset of categories of documents that are going to help attorneys like us really understand in an early stage what the documents are trying to tell us. They're going to help us see patterns, see communications that we wouldn't have seen that would have taken a lot more time and review and thousands of dollars to have people manually review them. I think that this technology is really going to help us as attorneys see the data more clearly and already start building our case and our narrative.
I think it's an interesting time, if you will, to be alive, because we're kind of sitting at that juxtaposition where, coming out of law school, would you say that you've seen the same thing that, you know, you did, you know, maybe just even 5 or 10 years ago?
I think coming out of law school, I didn't know that this is where my career would take me. I didn't know that I was going to love technology so much. I think it's, you know, with a lot of e-discovery attorneys, you kind of like, oh, wow, Excel is so great. And then from Excel, you start building databases. And from databases, you get really nerded out and you fall in love with relativity and all the, you know, widgets and dashboards and things you can create. And I think it kind of builds from there. But I understand that not all attorneys are like me, and, you know, they see a spreadsheet and they run the complete opposite direction. But I do think that technology is going to be here to stay. And I think that the lawyers that are really going to embrace this and figure out ways to use ChatGPT, to use Relativity and other document review platforms to their advantage are going to be ahead in their cases. I mean, my specialty is analytics review and e-discovery, but I know that contract attorneys are using AI to analyze contracts. I know that employment attorneys are using generative AI. So I think it's going to have applications across the board. I know that this is going to be super helpful for pro bono cases to help conduct first drafts and help potential clients, as well as maintaining low billable hours. So I think that it's going to be helpful across the board for our practice. And, you know, the early bird catches the worm.
And I know this is definitely not a question I asked you as we were, you know, kind of talking mm-hmm. through everything, but I do think that there's something to be said for technology influence the way that law is practiced. That's a given, you know, changing mm-hmm. from, you know, oil lamps to electricity changed the way that the world worked. This yeah. is going to change the way the world works again. And hesitancy aside or not, do you think that this level of technical competency and being able to use generative AI, Google Bard, Dolly, Harvey, whatever you have, mm-hmm. do you think it's going to change the billable hour?
I think that the billable hour is going to have to adapt alongside with it. I mean, are corporations really going to want to pay, you know, associate rates for something that someone could generate in a matter of a couple of minutes? I do think, again, that at this time, generative AI and these tools that you mentioned are a great starting place, really, for law firms to start. And then, of course, they're going to have to review what information the model has spit out and, of course, fact checked everything, because we do know that hallucination is a problem that we're seeing with these models. It tends to make up different law review articles. It tends to make up cases. So I think it's really, again, like you said, part of our due diligence as attorneys to go through and make sure that all that information is accurate and you're really representing your client to the best of your ability.
I love that. That's a fantastic answer. Okay. Last question. And this one you've seen at least, you know, mildly before. As we talk through kind of the future, next steps in law, specifically mm-hmm. as a practicing attorney, if you had all of the money in the world, if you had all of the time in the world, two things that we will never have, mm-hmm. how would you build tech competency in-house? How would you set up your model? Is it more training-based? Is it more educational-based? Is it a combination? Or is it solely kind of tech forward-facing?
Well, I do think that in-house and in law firms that you should really have a technology task force that's looking at all of these new models and how that can be applicable to your team. I think that you might want to set up some goals for that task force of where you want your attorneys to be at, like what level of competency they should be to use these technologies. And I do think that from there, they should identify training needs. So what are the training needs of specific attorneys? A younger associate might be more familiar and be able to be caught up to speed, but another generation of attorneys might need several trainings broken down with follow-ups and different surveys to evaluate the effectiveness of that training. And then what I've seen from my experience is that you really need to have your champions at your in-house department and firm pushing the use of that technology, because it's great, you know, once you have buy-in that, oh, this is a great model, we're going to start using it. And then, you know, it just sits on the shelf and people aren't actively working on it. So I do think that you need certain people that are really excited about that technology to continue pushing it and continue training and create just a culture of being tech forward and continuing to update their skills. CLAs are great, pushing attorneys to go to conferences. I attend the UFE Discovery Conference every year. They provide a lot of great information for attorneys who want to know more about AI and e-discovery. And of course, there's ILTACON and Legal Week and other conferences that are great introductions for attorneys. So I think that those that those tools between CLEs, in-house training, and different conferences is a great route for attorneys to gain that basic competence in technology.
Well, thank you very kindly for the plug for Ilticon, because we're super excited for it. But we're also super excited to continue to work with attorneys just like you, Nelly, and have socials just like the one in Miami with Nicole.
Yeah.
And to continue the in-person conversations, because technical competency doesn't just stop at the courtroom or at e-discovery. I think that these conversations need to continue, and we need to continue them with an eye forward, and ethically an eye forward. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio. Get tuned in.